Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here. Getaway Friday, June the 12th, 2026. 15 minutes past the hour, joined in studio by Matt Morgan. And the phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. And we were talking about Dick Schwatterer, who was our paparazzi last night. I haven't had a chance to go through the pictures yet, but I'll do that hopefully later on today or tomorrow. But do you have something to say about Dick Schwatterer?
Yes, after we went off the air there, we got a phone call from... Gosh, I can't think.
Ted Jolliffe.
Yes, I was going to call him Lee, but I was like, Lee's not right.
No.
Yeah, we got a phone call from Ted Jolliffe, and he said that Dick Schwatterer has been over to his house, and that he's probably that he should probably be in the Guinness Book of World Records for taking more pictures than anybody else because, well, you know, he's just everywhere, always taking pictures.
You know, anywhere there's an event going on, usually you will find Dick Schwatterer.
Yep, with his camera.
With his camera, and he was here last night with his camera.
Yep.
So we were glad to see him. And there was another interesting tie last night. I think, didn't Dick say he was born in this building as well?
Maybe.
I thought I heard him say that. And I think he also was a postman with Mary Ellen's husband.
Well, that's cool.
So it all goes back. It all goes back. And apparently he also sent a birthday card to Jack Kellogg, and it has not been delivered yet.
Yes, he mentioned that.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. Maybe he got the address wrong. I don't know. Things like that happen. In any event, 740-383-9944. All right, let's talk about these city council four-year terms, which will now be on the ballot coming up this fall. Marion voters will now vote as of Monday. City Council passed the resolution to put four-year terms on the ballot for City Council, staggered terms, starting with the next City Council election. Should it pass in the fall? Matt, what do you make of this, and do you think it'll pass?
I don't think that they need four-year terms. I think that staggered terms probably is a pretty good idea. But I don't think they need four-year terms. I think it would have been better if they split them up into two different, you know, pieces that you would have had to vote on. But they didn't. I don't know. I don't think there's a good chance that it'll pass.
Why do you think they did this? Now, you've heard the reasoning. What do you make of the reasoning?
I mean, it's basically so they can get more, because they're... I guess the first 2 years was like learning the ropes, apparently, and you know, also apparently they campaign for, like, you know, I don't know that I don't like you know, long time, 6 months, something like that. So, you know, you're really only in for like a year and a half before you got to start campaigning again. But I mean, didn't seem to be a problem before. So I don't know why it's a problem now. I mean, also the state reps are two-year terms.
Well, that's interesting.
So, like,
well, Congress is two-year terms.
Yeah, that's right. Because, you know, midterms every year. So yeah, I mean, I don't think it's necessary. Staggered terms, not bad. But I don't see a need for the four-year terms.
Well, I think it's going to have a hard time passing the ballot because I don't think that people want longer terms. I think they want term limits.
Yeah.
And I don't think they want... I just don't think it'll read well with most people who are voting. I think that's an uphill battle. Probably. But the reasoning of... we need more knowledge... and there's a big learning curve.
It had something to do with... Well, they also did mention the fact that, like, you know, you could just have, like, you know, there could be a there's the potential of an election in which you get 9 new council people who have no experience. But you know, I don't. The logic doesn't really hold for me. I mean, you ran off the experience. I mean, Jason Schauber, you know, he was the longest tenured. He's gone. Ayers is gone. I think the longest tenure now is Rollins.
Yeah. You know what I don't understand? I don't understand if these council people don't know something, why don't they call the attorney general? That you're allowed to do that, and somebody in the office will get back with you.
Mary Ellen said on air, I don't know, at some point in time, that anytime she didn't know something when she was in the county treasurer's office, she called the state treasurer.
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't quite understand why they think everything has to be done on the local level. I think that's sort of an odd thing to say. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, guys. Something just occurred to me. If we run off all 9 council members and the president at the same time, doesn't that mean we were sick of the last 9 and the council president?
Well, that's true, but it is also a fact, and again, if somebody can show me different, I'd love to see it. That has never happened.
No, I don't believe it has, and the last big reset we had was with most of the council members that are on there now.
Right.
Like when Collins came into office, I think, 5 people and the president got replaced?
Right, but you know what's also weird about that to me is that people, like the other day, I forget who was explaining that, but they said, well, just Jason and Ayers. But that's not true either. I mean, Rollins
He's new. He's in his third term, but I mean, he didn't have I'm not talking crap about Rollins, but he didn't have the experience that Jason and Ayers did.
No, I guess I'm just saying when that reset happened, Rollins was not new, and neither was Pollock.
He was newer. They were both, 1 term in?
I think 1 term in at that point, yeah.
So we didn't have any especially tenured people besides Ayers and Jason.
No, but you...
listen, that means we were sick of the other ones, right? Isn't this... I mean, if elections have consequences, then the voters are the ones that have to suffer them. That doesn't mean that we give them an extra 4 years to learn the job. If we think that after 2 years they've done an adequate enough job learning, that we're willing to give them another 2 years to learn some more, and then, hey, maybe at the end of year 4, we're like, wow, they've turned out to be a great council person. Let's keep reelecting them. Okay, but as far as the term limit thing goes, according to Mark Russell, which, again, I wouldn't pay him to defend me against a parking ticket, he says that we cannot have staggered terms unless we go to 4 years, because we are a statutory city. If we were a charter city, we could have 2-year staggered terms and term limits. But since we are not, we cannot have any of those things.
Well, I think it's going to be on the ballot, but the question remains to me is why people who come to the meetings, and by the way, that's a very small number of people at this point, but why both Democrats and Republicans who come to these meetings, I mean, Kreider voted for this, and Teresa Lupke got up and said she was all for it. And I don't quite understand why that is, because nobody ever elucidates exactly why it's a good idea.
Well, they keep going back to they're too stupid to learn the job in 4 years, because that's all, or in 2 years, because that's all I keep hearing. With every time they come up with an excuse, it's like most of y'all didn't even campaign against anybody, so you can't use that as an excuse. However, people are looking forward to the midterm elections in that we're looking forward to see what's going to happen. Now, half of the country wants, well, I can't say half. There's a portion of the country that wants us to stay red. There's a portion of the country that wants Congress to flip blue. There's a portion of people that want it to be purple. Is that wrong, that people are sitting and hoping that the entire Congress flips parties? Because, you know, that's a 2-year. Senate's also coming up. I mean, they'd stagger their terms. But flipping D.C. is okay, but possibly flipping our entire city council is not acceptable.
Well,
we can flip the House and the Senate, and we can flip the State House and the State Senate, but, oh, heaven forbid, we even think about flipping City Council. I think they realize the tide is turning against their little MAGA Marion Mafia, and they think that maybe they can eke out 1 more term and it'll last for 4 years. That'll have them, if they get reelected now, that'll have most of them in office as long as Bill Collins, if he gets another term.
Well, I'll tell you what I don't understand. Again, it's just back to the logic of what they're saying, and I have to take them for what they're saying about you know, it's a big learning curve and takes more than 2 years.
But isn't it up to us to decide whether they've learned enough and if they represent us well enough? Isn't it? It's not up to them to decide we need more time. It's up to us to decide, and that's why we're voting.
Well, right, but
I can't. You know, if you haven't learned it in 2 years, maybe we'll bring in the next person that can.
Well, I guess, but what I don't understand is, if it's a 2-year term, or a 4-year term, or a 6-year term, or if it was a 20-year term, what I don't understand is, if somebody doesn't run, or somebody resigns the seat, you're still going to have a new person at some point. Mm-hmm. So what makes the difference?
Or someone dies. I mean, and I'm not just talking about age. It could be killed in a car accident, that, you know, satellite could fall out of the sky on them. I mean, anything can happen. Somebody could get cancer and die very abruptly.
Well, so, I don't understand that.
I'm sorry, I'll put money on Prater running that race and resigning, and if Dichtel didn't get his spot, that Prater would resign and he would take it. That's not fair. That's not what people voted for. Bill Dichtel's never been elected, but he's been on city council twice. Is that fair? And then he would be in that spot for 4 years. Having never won an election. That's not fair. That's not what people voted for. You know, Ralph Smith's arguing about the Fourth Ward elected a Republican. A Republican was elected because no one else ran, and as long as she voted for herself, she was going to win that race.
Well, but by the way, the treasurer currently is not elected.
No. Well, neither is the auditor.
Neither is the auditor.
So, I mean, are we just going to... What my thought is that all the things that they wanted to do with Charter City and the charter did not pass, they're just piecing it out, and they're doing it anyway.
Well, they're trying. It's all up to the voters now.
Right, yes. They're piecing it out. So, you know, they appointed the auditor, they appointed the treasurer, which is what they wanted to do with Charter City, and now they want to extend their terms. Which is stagger and extend... Well, they wanted to stagger terms, at least, under Charter City. But...
Well, like I say, let's be honest, it's a gubernatorial year, and mm-hmm. only second to a presidential election, this turnout will be big, and mm-hmm. based upon that, the majority of people are not going to know about all these conversations that have happened, and I think they're going to look at the ballot and say, you want more time?
Exactly. When people are definitely all about term limits, that's what I hear anyway. I've heard a couple of people that are for it. But I'm going to be honest with you, they're hardcore liberal Republicans.
Well, there you go. So it's an interesting thing, but I can't imagine it passing with the voters.
I don't believe that it will. Hopefully it's resounding like Charter City was. And I'm not against a charter, but hopefully they get the hint that we're not done with their ideas, so they need to stop telling us this is what the people want.
Yep, it's a good point. Hey, thanks for calling.
Take care, guys.
Bye-bye. Yeah, I think those are very good points when you look at it.
I mean, yeah. I mean, I don't know why they want to extend the terms. When, like you said, and I guess Naomi there at the end said, I mean, people already want shortened terms. And generally speaking, I guess, I don't know how many people, I guess, follow city politics, but the ones who do, I don't think are, majority...
No, it's
happy
hard
about the state of the city. I mean, fiscal responsibility or fiscal caution and all that stuff.
Well, and I just want to bring up, and I said it recently, you know, there has not been a reporter from the Marion Star at a city council meeting, at least for the last two meetings, but there still are city council stories showing up in the Star. Now, that tells me they're just watching the live stream. So now not only is the public doing that, but the media is doing that. And I think that is so detrimental. Because you can't go up to the one person who voted no and say, why did you vote no? You can't do that. And I really think this live stream is a bad, bad idea. I think it's keeping the public home because they know they don't have to be there. And I think it's now keeping some of the media home.
Maybe. I mean, I don't know how you would drive people to the city council meetings.
No, I'm just saying people who would normally come because they know if they don't come, they're not going to know what happens and they can't do anything now can just say, oh, well, you know, it's a beautiful night out here and I don't really want to trek down to City Hall. I can just flip it on and watch it live.
But you can't
But you can't, I think it's become a show.
But you can't get up and go to the podium and ask questions or give your, you know, opinions and
But I think that's an afterthought because you don't know if you're going to need to do that when you go down there.
Well, you know, by the time you know, it's a little too late.
That's right, and that's what's wrong with the Facebook Live. By the time you're watching that thing and you're thinking, geez, what they're saying is a bunch of nonsense, you can't run up to the podium at that point because you're at home.
Yeah.
Right, so that it is created.
I think it's done a lot of damage on a lot of things.
Yes, I think the Facebook Live is horrible, and I've said that for weeks now. I believe it's much like a sporting event. A sporting event is still something people want to watch live. They don't want to watch it 3 days later. And I think a city council meeting, a county commissioner meeting, things like that are the same way. They don't want to watch them 3 days later. But if they're live, and I'm not saying city government did this on purpose, but here's a major problem. Why would you want to set up something that is basically saying, hey, you don't have to come here? I mean, what else does that do?
Well, I think the idea was it'll, like, you know, now people can watch from home, people who don't have rides and whatnot, so on and so forth.
Yeah, but that's not...
It was just, like, I think the thought at the beginning was to spread, or was to be, I guess, more transparent. By
yeah, but those people
accessibility.
Could get it 2 days later when the audio came out.
But I guess they want to listen to it live.
Yeah, but it also deters a lot of people who would show up. So I don't think it's worth that's a risk, and I think it's not worth the risk.
I mean, probably. I mean, there's a lot of people who, like, if I'm at, like, you know, I don't know, if I'm at work or, like, you know, somewhere, and I'm not going to be able to make it to the city council meeting, or if I'm running late to the city council meeting, I'll put it on and, like, listen to it while I'm, you know, doing whatever I'm doing.
I don't know. I think, in a way, government should take work. Either having to haul yourself up there and listen or watch it, or you should have to wait 2 days and then pull that up and listen to the whole thing.
Well, I mean, if you're going to participate in government, then yeah, I mean, participating in government takes work. I mean, you gotta, yes, I mean, if you have something to say, you have to go to City Hall, you know, that kind of thing.
It's one of those things, but as many of you know, we're celebrating the big 12th anniversary of this station this week. Over 9,000 hours alone of broadcasting on this program. We had the big anniversary party last night. We're all still a little bleary-eyed from that event. Huge crowd last night. Former Major League Baseball umpire Larry Barnett, Mary Ellen Withrow, Treasurer of the United States, Mayor Jack Kellogg, longest-serving mayor in Marion history, turning 90 on Sunday. We celebrated that. He was here last night. Three different musical acts. All kinds of great stuff last night, and a gentleman who I know would have liked to have been there, has been to anniversary parties in the past, is a gentleman who joins us now for a few minutes. He was not able to be there because he is out of his home base right now, but we're so glad that he could stop by for a few minutes this morning because he's like family around here. He has appeared with us at the Marion County Fair and the Bratwurst Festival, and he has called in from all over the country giving us updates that we could not get anywhere else in regard to the Ohio State Buckeyes football team. He is the superfan, ESPN Hall of Famer, Buckeye Guy. Buckeye Guy, how are you?
First off, congratulations, man, on 12 years and 9,000 live hours on the radio, TV, and around the world.
I know, 9,000 hours. I looked at that number early in the week, and I thought, boy, oh, boy, maybe I've said enough.
No, there's plenty of more that you can teach us, and it's always teaching moments.
Well, Buckeye Guy, you have been with us for the 12 years here. It's always a pleasure to have you on. Is there a memory that sticks out in your mind of the things that we've done together?
It does. It's the strangest thing. We were doing an interview from the national championship game in Atlanta. And we were interrupted by an Atlanta City police officer, and she couldn't have been nicer. And I said, "Scott, I'm getting pulled over during the interview." And he says, "You've got to be kidding me." I said, "No, this is real."
Oh, that was a classic moment. That is the a moment that sticks out in my mind because, you were driving down to the national championship game, and you said, "Hold on, I'm being pulled over," but you didn't stop doing the interview as the police officer comes over to the car, and do you remember what she pulled you over for? I thought that was the most unique thing in the world.
No, I do. The Buckeye guy, Kate, was hanging out of the car, and she says, "Oh, man, I just want to let you know that something's hanging out of the car. And, oh, by the way, you're not supposed to be on your phone."
That's right. When I heard the reason, your cape was hanging out the door, I thought, well, you know, that's one of the most unique things somebody could be pulled over for ever. But, you know, Buckeye Guy, the reports you have given us days after, mornings after national championship games all over the country and playoff games, I mean, those are really invaluable. And I can't thank you enough for being a part of that. And I know had you been in the area, you would have been with us last night.
I certainly would have been there if, in fact, I were in the area. It's no driving lane from where I'm at right now, but you know, there's a telephone line, and I wanted to make sure that I was represented in such a significant time now with Scott Spears.
Well, I appreciate that, Buckeye Guy. Hey, and you know, the fair's just right around the corner. We'll be together before too long.
It won't be long, and that's one of my favorite spots. But I was telling a friend of mine, the Ohio State Fair introduced me to Tractor Pull. And as snow, Marion County Fair has a huge contingent of Tractor Pulls, and I cannot wait to get down there, see, hear, smell, and taste all of what you guys have to offer.
Absolutely. Tractor pulls are big in this area. Hey, Buckeye Guy, July 4th this year, that's the week of the fair, the 250th anniversary of this country. How are you feeling about the big anniversary coming up?
Well, I can't wait, man. I'm telling you, it's significant, obviously. You know what I'm saying? So we've made some strides and gains. We're about 250 years.
Absolutely. Well, Buckeye Guy, I'm so glad you were able to call in, and I'll see you here in a couple weeks. And for everything you've done over all these years and will continue to do, I'm sure, I appreciate it, and I appreciate the work you've done for charities over the years. You are a class act.
Please tell the United States of the throat that Buckeye Guy said hello. And I'll see her soon.
I will pass that along, and I'm sure she'll be at the fair as well.
Thank you.
Thank you, Buckeye Guy.
Okay.
Bye-bye. There you go. One of the all-time greats and a good friend of ours. Buckeye Guy, who goes to those big games and pays thousands of dollars for a seat, I would imagine, and plane tickets and travel and hotel rooms and so on and so forth, and calls in the updates to us the next days. Got to turn your mic back on.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. He's a class act. All right. And again, the phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. Was your mic muted there?
Yeah, I think it was. It's not now. I can hear myself.
Has it been muted all morning?
No, I can hear myself earlier, too.
Oh, thank God. Because that's the mic we were using last night. I thought, God, I hope that hasn't been muted the entire time. You know, Terry was pushing buttons over here last night before the anniversary party, so I wasn't sure what was going on. All right. Anyway, back to what we're talking about here.
Man, if I would have thought about it, I would have asked Buckeye Guy what he thought about having four Ohio State players go in the top 10, and they still got beat by Miami.
Oh, don't ruffle his feathers. Don't ruffle his cape, as they say. Oh, that was one of my favorite moments, though, the him getting pulled over while we were doing a live radio program that morning because his cape was stuck in the door. I mean, that doesn't get any better. And he didn't stop the interview. He just kept on going.
Well,
that's Buckeye Guy.
Well, that's good.
All right, 740-383-9944. 39 minutes past the hour here. Should city council get four-year terms?
I don't think so.
Well, I don't think it's going to go over well. Let's talk a little bit about this whoop-de-doo over in Cardington. I'm not going to read the whole story because I think people pretty well have an idea of what happened over there on Sunday. But the valedictorian Brandon Hughes apparently submitted his speech earlier in the week. Cardington said, you can't put these parts in. He said, okay. He goes out, he gives his valedictorian speech on Sunday, and then when he's done with his speech, he throws this line in. He says, I apologize if my speech seems watered down. There's a lot more I would have liked to say at Cardington. Freedom of speech does not apply to valedictorian speeches. And then the principal kind of pushed him to the side. And I'm sure a lot of people have seen the video because it aired on Columbus News. So that's the story, and it got people all bothered. But what do you make of this?
I think it's... I don't know why the principal would push him out of the way. I mean, I think it just made it a bigger deal than it needed to be. I mean, I'm pretty... No, I could be wrong. I mean, I don't know how much more he was going to say, but I would think that he was pretty good and well going to say that there was a lot more he wanted to say, but that freedom of speech doesn't apply to valedictorian speeches, and then that was pretty much going to be it. I mean, I don't know what else he would have said.
Well, I don't know, but
unless
I'm
only... he would have just reiterated the speech that he got cut out.
See, I do see this both ways, though, although I am leaning more toward the kid.
I also am leaning towards the kid, yeah.
Yeah, but I do see this two ways, because, okay, when the conversation happened, which I guess was 3 days earlier, about the administration saying, you can't say this as a part of your speech, that was his chance to say, okay, I am going to say that, and then see what they say. Now, I guess, yes, they could have said you can't give your speech, but then you can say on social media, they've cut my speech because they don't like what I want to say. That, to me, was probably the more diplomatic route to this. Because, I will say this.
Try to strong-arm the school district?
Well, no, because here's the problem. I'll tell you why this is an issue. Because at some point, he had to say, okay, when they took the stuff out. He had to say, okay. I'm okay with that. Well, now you've agreed to do it. Once you agree to do it, then you should do it. And if you don't, I disagree with that. Now, you could say, I'm not going to do it. And yes, that is, I guess there could be a threat of them pulling your speech. But then it's because you said you wouldn't. Or maybe there could have been a compromise. I don't know what the people in Cardington are like. Maybe there could have been a compromise on some of the stuff. But I don't think you agree to give the speech watered down, as he says, if you feel that way. Then don't agree to do it. Once you agree to do it, that's the problem. Or you say, listen, fine, I'll leave that stuff out, but I'm going to add this line because I think my freedom of speech has been tampered with here. You know, why not do that?
Well, I mean, yeah, sure, I guess, but, like, I mean, I think this was fine.
Well, but you don't see that.
See what?
That there was a moment to be diplomatic about this, and there was a moment...
I probably would have argued with them, personally. I mean, like, I wrote the speech, the things I want to say in my speech, and I've read the speech. I don't think that anything he said was, like, you know, inflammatory.
No, but listen, I've been a part of enough events.
I probably would have argued with the administration and been like, why?
No, but I've been a part of enough events and run enough events. If somebody came up to me and said, do you care if I say this? And I said, I'd rather you did not.
That's not how it went.
Well, how did it go? I don't know what happened in their meeting.
I do believe it. Well, I don't know what happened in the meeting, but I do believe he was, like, required to turn in the speech. It's not like a, hey.
No.
I say this? I'm pretty sure he was required to, like, submit his speech.
I understand that.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is if somebody came up to me and said, I'm going to say this in my speech, and I said, I would rather you did not, and you agree to I'd rather you did not, and you get up and do it anyway, I'm not going to like that. Now, on the other hand, I'm not going to knock you off the podium, but I'm not going to like that you did. Why'd you tell me? Why'd you ask me?
I think that knocking him off the podium probably, I mean, you know, I think that's probably the reason why it went so big. I mean, nobody would, I mean, I don't know, maybe they would have posted his speech anyways, and, you know, maybe it would, I just don't think it would have been all that, as big a thing as it was, because the principal did kind of, like, you know, physically remove the kid from the podium.
Well, that's why I end up on the kid's side here, because I don't think the line that he said, which was not one of the lines that was taken from his speech,
yep.
I don't think that that was a horrible line, and I think the way the principal handled it was very poor. I don't know if he thought more was coming. I don't know what he thought. But I, you know, again, the line is not even, I apologize if my speech seems watered down. There's a lot more I would have liked to say at Cardington. Freedom of speech does not apply to valedictorian speeches. That does not, okay, listen. That's an obtuse statement. Because there's a lot of things you couldn't have got up there and said. Yeah, freedom of speech, you're right. Freedom of speech does not apply to valedictorian speeches. It doesn't. You couldn't get up there and drop an expletive. And nobody would have thought you were right for doing it. So, you know, I mean,
what if I just presented you a speech and said, this is the speech I'm going to give, and then just got up to the podium and gave a completely different speech?
Right. Wrong. Go ahead, Colin.
Yeah, I don't think they should really censor a valedictorian speech. I mean, it's a valedictorian, which is supposedly the smartest one in your class. If he says something you don't like, isn't that something about your school? Or the times that we are living in, and you guys haven't talked to the kids about, you know, how things are, you know, in the world today? I mean, there shouldn't be a valedictorian that needs to feel that he has to say anything that you wouldn't want.
No, but how do you feel about 3 days earlier, the student agreeing to not give the speech that he wanted to give?
Well, maybe if he agreed, you know, he broke a gentleman's agreement, but, you know, the school shouldn't have been. Do you know what it was he said that they are taking big offense to?
Nat has looked at it. I didn't read the whole
speech. I mean, I don't remember exactly. Like, you can find it on, like, Facebook. They have, like, the parts that were taken out highlighted in red. But it's basically like, you know, not everybody who graduated this year had a great time at high school and, you know, stuff like that, basically.
No, there's a lot of kids that don't have a great time at high school. And then there's the lucky few that are with the in crowd and the people that got money in the school district. You know, a lot of times they have a great time. But there's other kids that are going through different things at home. They don't make friends easy. They're a little quiet, you know. And the ones that get picked on, you know, not everybody has a great time.
No, you're right.
If you're saying the truth, it's nice that the valedictorian could see that.
Right, but see, I think that conversation needed to be had on Thursday. When they took it out, that's when you say everything you just said. You don't agree to give the speech without that.
Well, yeah. If he really wanted to say that in his speech, he should have said no. That's my speech, and that's what I'm going to say. Now, does the school have, can they change the valedictorian then if he's going to say stuff I don't like?
Well, and I think also, then maybe he should have said, he should have added this line that he ended up adding extemporaneously about, you know, freedom of speech does not apply to valedictorian speeches. He should have said, okay, I won't say any of the stuff you didn't want me to say, but I'm adding this. But I'm adding this line. You know, and I think that probably would not have been a horrible compromise to make. Matter of fact, I believe the administration probably would have made that compromise.
Yeah, but the school goes through, you go through 12 years of school, and sometimes more, kindergarten, preschool, and your speech when you leave the class, and you're supposedly the smartest one in the class, you've got to censor their speech, you know. And what he said was right. Not everybody has a good time.
Right, well, that's where you got to come down on the kid's side, because the principal should not have came up and pushed him from the podium, and they should not have tried to withhold his diploma. I thought that was very poor management.
There is another part. I'll just read it. Despite hardships, despite the world seeming to fall apart around us, we are here. We made it. Not because every door was open for us, but because we kept moving forward when some doors stayed closed. And then then that's not cut out. Well, the part I just read was, but then there's one after that's not. But then after the next sentence, don't let your future be filled with regrets and nostalgia. For these days that are past, find joy today.
They had to cut that?
So bad?
Yeah. That was cut?
Yeah, that was cut. And then they also
cut. Well, what's wrong with that?
Yeah, I don't know. That's why I said I don't know why they even wanted them to edit the speech. But, I can't find the full speech because Facebook is for some reason not loading.
Well, now I'm starting to lean more toward the kid because I don't even understand why that would be cut. What is that?
We, the class of 2026, are the future. We have the ability to build the foundation for a more promising and cohesive home, community, and planet. Our individual contributions may feel small and insignificant. However, the illusion that we are separate and our choices carry no weight is exactly what is keeping us from making this change. History has shown that meaningful change has started with ordinary people who believe their actions matter.
That was cut.
Oh. No, I think that was a great speech for a...
I mean, there's three pages, and you know, there's a lot of stuff highlighted. I mean, this page has like half of it highlighted.
Is there anything in there provocative? I mean, that's not even provocative. Why would that have to be cut? Well, now see.
Oh, yeah, and here's the one about not everybody in the room had a positive high school experience. Some felt they were overlooked. You know, stuff like that.
Well, I can see why they'd be touchy about that. They are the high school.
We have the rest of our lives to settle down, start a family, and build careers, so what's the rush? They cut that. The times we are living in are uncertain and intimidating. They cut that.
Jeez.
They cut, and then he also said, politics are dividing our nation, environmental changes are overwhelming, and people continue to suffer due to discrimination based on race, identity, or who they choose to love, and they cut that.
Well, I can see why that might have got cut. That last part. I don't agree with it being cut, but I can see why in Cardington,
yeah.
Ohio, that
yeah.
might get cut.
Yes, yeah. The last part again?
Yeah.
Lawrence, I gotta pull it back up now.
You should have printed this speech off. You had a hard copy here.
That'd be nice, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
The last sentence I read is, politics are dividing our nation, environmental changes are overwhelming, and people continue to suffer due to discrimination based on race, identity, or who they choose to love.
Okay, now here's why I...
What's so wrong with that?
Okay, well, again,
that's
I'm not...
What's happening in this world?
Okay, here's why I'm going to tell... I don't work for Cardington School, but here's why I'm going to tell you they probably wanted to cut that. Number one, I bet the school does have a policy somewhere about being political.
Who you love, you can't yeah. love.
No, no, political.
No, 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 yeah.
Politics.
It's probably just because there's politics in the speech.
And say that some people love who they want, and they not, no. about to love them.
No, politics. It's
so,
they,
like,
politics.
I think the idea is that when you get up and give a speech as a valedictorian or like an honorary speaker
no
at a graduation,
statements.
You're supposed to give like a motivational speech to introduce these people to the world and not like a political speech.
Yeah, and
now,
by the way,
his speech is not political. Only the one line I read.
Right, but I don't think if the principal or the superintendent or whoever else spoke that day, if they wanted to say that, I don't think they would be allowed to say it either.
They'd probably get in trouble too, yeah.
Right, so that last part I do understand, and I'll also tell you why in Cardington, which is in an area that is very, let's say Republican, that here would have been the problem. Not that you can't espouse maybe a Democratic belief, but here's the problem. Cardington has 75 graduates. That room is not filled heavy. And most of those people probably feel different. And the last thing you want on graduation day is your valedictorian getting booed. And I bet that's why that was cut. They were probably fearful of that, which is why political speech in a valedictorian speech is usually not allowed.
I think it's
more
important that the kid can get up there and say what he wants, especially when he sees the world the way it is and his eyes are wide open, not shut like a lot of people want to think, and just listen to Fox News.
I think that
the kid should be able to say what he wants.
I don't think that anything they read should, or that anything I read should have been cut out per se. But I mean, it doesn't surprise me that they cut out the last line. I mean, it's a political statement. Politics don't belong in valedictorian speeches.
Well,
it's just like when the guy at my graduation got up and said that he recommends that people choose biblical principles when picking a mate, you know, man with woman with man. It's the same thing.
Yeah, and they booed him right off the
stage,
and then went after his business, and the poor man's went on to his reward now, but, you know, that didn't go well for him.
Well, I don't think it was super political. I mean,
no, but see,
what's happening?
They booed him. See, that if we're all about toleration,
well, he got cheers and boos. There was that.
Well, I'm sure this guy would have too, but I'm sure the overwhelming would have been boo, and I think it was at Ridge or River Valley that year with Mr. McGuire. But the problem, you don't want that. Graduation
should have went up there and said, "We all ought to be grateful that we live in this country of ours because we are in the greatest shape we've ever been. It's the gilded age we're living in right now."
Yeah, the second
No, no, I don't think you can say that either. No.
Been all right.
You don't think it's a second gilded? We almost have a trillionaire.
No, I don't think you say anything political because, again, you also have to understand.
Your speech?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, no.
It would have been all right.
No, it would not have been all right.
Yeah, I would have avoided.
They would have had any backlash to it.
I'd avoid the politics in my speech.
Oh, I think they would have backlash because
they should, you know, probably shouldn't put politics in there. But I guarantee you, the principal wouldn't went over there and knocked him off to the side if he said that.
Well, but he didn't get a chance to say that. No, but listen, here's the thing. You do have to be aware there are 75 other graduates. It's just not a day for the valedictorian. So you don't want also, a lot of people are filming that when their kid is there. They don't want boos in there. They don't want their kid booing the valedictorian. They don't want cheers versus boos or fights breaking out on graduation day. That's why I agree with them in leaving politics out of valedictorian speeches. I don't think that's the place to make your political statements. And a matter of fact, when I graduated college, do you know who was the commencement speaker? It was John McCain. He didn't get up and give a political speech. He gave a speech about his Vietnam time. He gave a speech about doing something for your country.
Think he should have went up there and done.
He didn't say vote for me for president.
If that kid would have went up there and said something about this war we're on, you would have said that's political.
Yeah, I don't think you should talk about the war.
Yeah, well,
John McCain talked about his war experience.
But the war was over. Most of us weren't even alive when that war was going on.
Yeah, but we can look back and, oh no, that was political back then.
No, he talked about being a POW. That was his experience. Now, if this kid has an experience with like this, I think he could have probably talked about his own experience.
I don't know. I disagree with you. Either way, put politics in it. But I guarantee you, if the kid would have said a Republican point, they wouldn't have no problem with it.
I don't know. I disagree with that, but I thank you for calling.
Yep.
Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. I don't think that's true.
I also don't think that's true. I mean, I think that, you know, I just think that I almost said political speeches. I just think that valedictorian speeches shouldn't be political.
No, but I don't think you should bump the guy off the speech.
No,
podium either. I don't. Understand that.
I think it's kind of like, you know, I don't know. It's kind of like if you're just doing something on, like, I don't know, like like back when live TV used to actually be live TV, and like, you know, if you messed up, you messed up. You had to just keep rolling with it. I mean, there's nothing you can do. It's live.
Well, listen, I'm going to tell this story very quickly, but one of the great, and I've told it before, but it's good at graduation time. The best way to handle something like that was Barbara Bush, and it's still regarded as one of the best graduation speeches ever. Barbara Bush was the First Lady of the United States. I think this was 1990, and Wellesley College, which was a very progressive female, it's where Hillary Clinton graduated from, asked Barbara Bush to be the commencement speaker. And Barbara Bush was the Republican First Lady of the United States, who was, you know, she came before women were really proactive, and you know, Barbara Bush wasn't Hillary Clinton. She wasn't trying to run for office. She wasn't trying to, you know, do her thing like Wellesley was. And there were a lot of backlash to Barbara Bush being their commencement speaker, because they didn't feel like she represented what women should be, that she was just the old wife and she wasn't, you know, living on her own, supporting women's causes. And a lot of people thought Barbara Bush was going to cancel the speech, because this got a lot of attention back in 1990, First Lady of the United States. And they were going to protest. There were things that they were going to protest her speech and so on and so forth. And she said, no. She said, I'm coming. And she gets up and gives her speech. And then at the very end, and it's a paraphrase, but I'm sure it's online, she starts to talk about, she says, you know, I know there was a lot of controversy about me being here today, but this is where the controversy ends, and hopefully we can start a dialogue about what's going on and your freedom of choice, and that you have a choice to do what you want to, and I've had a choice to do what I want to in life. And you know what? There might even be somebody out there in the audience today who might follow in my footsteps and be the spouse of the President of the United States. And I hope that he will be very happy with his choices.
Very nice.
So, you know, obviously saying that there would be a female president, and the crowd erupted, and they gave her a great response. What a great line. Now, that's how you handle it. You know?
That's good.
Yeah. So,
that's how you end up the First Lady.
That's how you, Barbara Bush was nobody's dummy. All right, we'll be back right after this.
That was up four times, so I was a bridesmaid, never a bride.
Marla, when you get a role today, you say you still do.